My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Mock Draft 2.0 today on Character Concerns. I am Nick Schwert with Chris Nocero and Jay Binkley. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you're listening to this podcast. We've got more content coming out than ever because not only are we continuing to release new episodes every Tuesday morning as we have been, we are also doing shows live on 610 Sports Radio every Thursday night from 6 to 9 p.m. So if you're in the area or if you want to listen on the Odyssey app, you can do that live every Thursday night. We're throwing those up on the podcast feed as well. So we've got 4 hours of draft talk coming your way every single week up at leading to and through the NFL draft. We have already done Mock Draft 1.0, which was our first Chiefs 7-round mock draft. Then we did what we called 1.5, and some guys were giving us a hard time about that, where we did just the first round mock. And today we are going to go back and do another 7-round mock draft. It's been about a month, right? Since we did that first one?
Yeah, we can do every team, every pick.
Single pick. Okay. So it'll be a while.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long episode.
No, oh, I get Mr. Relevant.
I actually don't think it's going to take us as long to do this one this time. Because I think we have a better feel for the value.
Yeah, I think we did the first one right after the combine.
Right.
And now... Not a lot's changed. Not a lot has changed.
I mean, you think that, but look at how many guys have jumped up and fallen down
boards. I'll
tell
you what it is. Not a lot has changed in terms of maybe who you think are first-round prospects. But I think individually, I bet you that all three of us, like our opinions on certain players have changed. Our opinions on what we think the Chiefs should be doing or like where the value is going to be should be. But the beautiful thing about this exercise is Bink doesn't get to go 1, 2, 3. I don't go 1, 2, 3. Neither does Chris. We take turns. I think the first draft, I had the first pick. Last draft, Bink had the first pick. So in this edition of our mock draft, 7-round Chiefs picks, 10 picks in total, Chris will be picking first. I will be picking second and Bink will be picking third. The first time we did this, I think we went wide receiver, tight end, cornerback. So we waited a while on edge and offensive line. I'll be interested to see where we go specifically with these first three.
Yeah, and then the all 31 pick ended up with the linemen because the four receivers that I wanted at that point weren't there. So
you decided to ruin Anton it for Harrison. Us, Nick.
Yeah, I did ruin it for you, so I'm sorry about that.
You get us back now, though.
Yeah, the beautiful thing is...
you get us back, Chris.
Yeah, exactly. This is all up to you now.
We'll get you back on track. Don't worry
about it. Let the board speak to you.
All right,
am I blocking anything there?
Is your board...
you're good, dude. You're
if
good.
Your board's ready, we can go ahead and get this thing going. We will start the Pro Football Focus mock draft simulation.
Just a heads up, guys. We are not doing any trades still.
No Keep trades.
Same as we did before. So we're just going to go with the base picks that the Chiefs have. Though, again, I reiterate, I know Bink believes in this too. Good chance that they make some kind of move at some point. They got enough picks, they could make something happen.
And Chad Ryder that we had on the podcast last week from NFL.com, he puts out the only 4-round mock draft at NFL.com. He had the Chiefs trading the Giants.
Right.
Which is a reasonable
which
trade.
Which is 25. Up to 25.
It's the 25, which would put the Chiefs with an NFC team for trade because obviously that makes the most sense. And it was the Chiefs giving up a third rounder and their late pick just to move up to 25. So it's moving up six slots. So they still gave up. They flipped ones. They gave up their third round pick.
Chris, do you know who you want, or do you need me to sort this by position here? What are you looking at?
Go over to wide receiver. Okay. I'm pretty sure he's going to be there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So first pick, same as we've been doing.
No, I'm gonna don't
go,
do it.
Yeah, I'm going to do it because it's a pick I've been consistent on here. At 31st overall, first round, I'm going to go Jalin Hyatt, wide receiver, Tennessee.
And there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, Chad Ryder had the Chiefs trading up to get
a lot of
Jalin
people,
Hyatt.
A lot of people are having, if they go wide receiver, a lot of people, most people I've seen at wide receiver, have them taking Hyatt in the first.
I've seen him as the third best receiver in this draft at this point because Quentin Johnson, for some reason, is falling back. So I've seen it go like Jackson, Smith-Njigba, then I see Jordan Addison, then Jalin Hyatt. I mean, it's like that. And then Zay Flowers is really starting to climb.
Yeah, he's
as well.
Starting to climb boards now.
Looks like Zay Flowers is already gone in this
mock. The only thing, it's nothing against Jalin Hyatt specifically, but one thing that has changed for me a little bit over the last month or so is the idea of value at wide receiver versus like some other positions of need. Where I feel like Jalin Hyatt may end up being a great pick. It's not really about him. It's more so that I'm a little more nervous about waiting to the end of the second round to take either an offensive lineman, if you're the Chiefs and you think, hey, we still don't have a starting right tackle and we need to get one, or if you're thinking we need to draft a long-term replacement as well as somebody who can be a rotational edge rusher this year. I feel like it's tougher to wait on those positions than it is wide receiver. Just using history as sort of a barometer, in years past, you know, there's plenty of value at the end of the second round, into the third round at wide receiver, more so than maybe those other spots.
I agree with you on that. And that's why I think there's a much better chance they move up in the second than in the first.
Okay.
Because I think if they stay, especially if the valuation of receivers is accurate based on what the media is saying, and the Chiefs kind of do have their pick of the lot as far as receivers go, aside from like JSN, then second round, they could move up and they can go get, like, if they really value a tackle somewhere in the mid-second. Mm-hmm. It'll be easier and cheaper to move up in the second round than it will be in the first.
Let me ask you this. In this mock draft simulation that we did, Jordan, I mean, obviously, JSN and Quentin Johnston were already off the board.
Right.
Jordan Addison and Zay Flowers were already taken before we got to the Chiefs. If yes. either one of those guys were on the board, would you have thought about selecting
them? I would have absolutely considered it. And I'm on the record with saying that I think someone like Addison is probably a safer pick than Hyatt, because I think Addison and even Zay Flowers, I think, are probably a little bit more skilled right now. I just don't think they have the ceiling that Hyatt does.
I like you staying consistent, though. I like you staying consistent. You're not with the mock drafters around. Hey, let's move somebody down or let's move them way out. You're staying consistent with your pick. I like that.
No, I think because we talked about this on Thursday about should you be drafting for what you think is going to happen or what you think that team should do. I do like the idea of, if you want to go Jalin Hyatt, go Jalin Hyatt. Or if you want to go wide receiver and that's your wide receiver, that's fine. I do like the idea of playing out different ideas just to know, like, hey,
yeah,
what would happen if you took wide receiver versus what would happen if you took edge? What will be available to you in the second round knowing that you've already taken care of wide receiver?
Right. I think it's kind of scary with the Chiefs picking last in the second round and we're not doing trades. Odell Beckham, you know, now gone. So DeAndre Hopkins is out there. So this whole pipe dream, bringing in this veteran receiver and drafting one. I think you could draft one really in the second round if you landed a DeAndre Hopkins. Okay, take a second round receiver. You can almost even wait till 63 if you have to. But if you don't have those guys and there's no plans to get those guys, it becomes more and more imperative to go out and get a wide receiver.
Let me ask you this, Bink, with Jalin Hyatt. How does he fit in with the Chiefs offense? We know what he brings to the table.
He's the field threat that MVS is not giving you, and he should be. MVS at 6'4".
So he would be like you would draft him as to be the long-term replacement for MVS.
Absolutely. MVS should be the guy with the Chiefs. He's 6'4", runs a 4.37. I mean, the guy's fast. He had one of the fastest times in the NFL 2 years ago that was clocked at miles per hour. He should be that guy. It's just not opening up for him, getting the separation, getting down the field.
He's just not consistent enough. I think, to warrant a lot of trust from the team. Like, we obviously saw how great he can be when he's on in the AFC Championship game. The problem, though, is that was literally the only game where we saw him play at that level. And I just, we know, we've seen a lot of inconsistent receivers here in Kansas City over the years. And I don't think you want to put your trust in a guy that's that you know is inconsistent. There's a reason why Green Bay wasn't too keen on trying to go out of their way to keep him. So I feel like you need to keep, like, it's cool if you have a guy like MVS on your team, but you don't want to put yourself in a position where you have to rely on him. You just want him to be an ancillary piece, and you want other guys who are actually reliable to be the ones that you put the onus of the offense on.
Okay. Yeah. So I think, the long-term fit with Hyde, it's not hard to figure out why they would want a guy like him, because MVS, remember, technically is only under contract for one more year. This is, in all likelihood, it's going to be his last season in Kansas City. So even if you say, hey, Hyatt's going to need to add bulk, he's going to need to polish up his route tree, like, there's a lot to do. He's a rookie. The idea would be that a year from now, when MVS is playing somewhere else, maybe he slides in and can be your number two, right? Even though he's a first-round pick, it's okay drafting a guy saying, like, hey, we want you to be a long-term downfield threat. We don't ever think you're going to be an X receiver or our number one, but you can keep defenses honest.
And none of that, but it's the last pick of the first round. This is a fringe second-round pick is where it is. Teams usually have 19 and 20 first-round grades. You're essentially getting somebody early that's not going to go in the 30s or 40s. You know, after where the Chiefs pick, they're already grabbing him there. So right. It's kind of one of these, okay, let's grab you before you're taken early in the second round. Because if he's still on the board, he's going early in the second round before 40,
probably. Yeah, I know that I've seen some valuation having him. Like, he's actually, like, falling down PFF's board. So, like, on here, they got, like, his ADP is, like, 59. There's no damn way he's going to be there at 59. Yeah. Ain't no damn way. Yeah. So, I would not take that for granted. I think if... Whenever you look at a guy who's incredibly talented like Hyatt, they tend to go earlier than a lot of people think they will. So you don't want to take that for granted.
And Cedric Tillman's interesting to me because he was the top receiver there, gets hurt, misses the season. So Cedric Tillman, I am curious where he's going to end up going in this draft.
Maybe late second, early third.
Are there any two wide receivers in the history of college football who are more dissimilar from how they are built than Cedric Tillman and Jalin Hyatt?
I have to go back to some of those old Miss years.
Like, if Cedric Tillman could have, if he could have maybe spotted him, you know, 10, 15 pounds of muscle, then Jalin Hyatt would be a top 10 pick.
But 100%.
Oh, yeah. If he was 15 pounds heavier, he'd probably be the top receiver off the board.
There's no question, because that's the biggest downfall of this wide receiver class, is aside from Quentin Johnston, there's nobody at the top of the board that has that size and strength.
I mean,
that you look
maybe the best outside, like, true outside receiver, like Quentin Johnston, but even some people think he's a slot guy.
I was thinking Ole Miss, but A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf, both those dudes are huge.
But, like, him, besides them, like, maybe Cedric Tillman might be the top outside receiver.
Okay, so... I think so. And he might be, if the Chiefs don't go wide receiver in the first round, then he's potentially somebody you would target in the second. But I am now up at pick number 63. And with you taking wide receiver, there's part of me that's kind of relieved. Now I don't have to worry about that position.
It's tougher for you to take wide receiver at 63 than it is for me at 31.
So now I'm looking specifically at edge rusher and offensive tackle, and I don't... At this point, if you can't get a guy who you think is going to be a day one starter and tackle, I don't think you spend a second round pick on him. Now, if at first round you think Darnell Wright or DeJuan Jones are those guys, and you think, hey, he can start from us for day one, that's great. But if at day two you're getting another project, I'm like, well, I already got Darian Kennard and Lucas Niang, so let me go and get someone I feel really good about with my second round pick. So I'm going edge rusher. There are two guys I'm between, and that's Derek Hall of Auburn and Keon White of Georgia Tech. And I think both of them are similar in that they've got the prototypical size. They both have holes in their game, but they have the size and the strength that is sort of scheme protected. It doesn't really, they can play in any scheme, but specifically with Spags, these guys both seem like they would fit well into his scheme. And the biggest tiebreaker to me is that one of these guys is 22 and one of them is 24. Keon White from Georgia Tech, he started, he was a two-star prospect. He goes to Old Dominion as a tight end. Then he transfers to Georgia Tech. The guy spent 5 years in college and didn't have his breakout season till this last year when he was 23. That's a little scary to me. Like, how much higher is that ceiling? How much better is he going to get, or did he just benefit from being the oldest dude in the ACC? For that reason, and then I compare him to Derek Hall, who was a three-year starter at Auburn. He had 24.5 tackles for loss each of the last two seasons. Bink, I know you love the SEC, and usually I think you go a little bit too heavy with it and in disrespecting some of the other conferences.
Yeah, but the Chiefs love it.
I'm taking a page from your book here. I would rather have the three-year starter from the SEC than the guy who only produced in one season for Georgia Tech. So pick 63, I'm going edge rusher Derek Hall. I think much like Karlaftis, he competes for a rotational spot in year one, and then maybe by year two or three, he's somebody who hopefully profiles as being a starting edge rusher for
you. It's a good pick because it's a fringe first rounder. Yeah. I mean, Derek Hall was getting a lot of run on mock drafts early on at the end of the first round.
So yeah,
and the Chiefs love the SEC.
Yeah, and he's got the length they like. He's he probably needs to add a little bit of weight. They tend to like guys who are a little bit heavier. You'd like to see him improve his power rushing a little bit more, which they kind of prefer power rushing edges.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 250. And to me, when you talk about adding weight, I would rather have the guy who's 6'2", 250, who looks like he has the frame to add it, than like Will McDonald or...
Yeah, no, because Will McDonald's way undersized.
B.J. Ojolari.
Yeah, no,
I look at those guys play,
he's
and I...
He's way undersized, too, yeah.
They don't fit for the Chiefs, but no. Also, I don't look at those frames and say, yeah, he's gonna put on 20 pounds.
Right, yeah.
Like,
no,
Derek Hall is built like somebody who could probably add 20 pounds and you wouldn't notice that.
Right, yeah.
You
know? And that's the reason why I think, like, the one thing is he's got to add weight and he's got to improve his power rushing, because that's kind of what the Chiefs like to do, is they prefer power rushers more than anything. So he'll have to work on that. But, like, again, this is a guy that was late first round grade for a while. Now you're getting him late second round. You don't have to move up to get him. And you're not pressed to try and put him in a position where he plays this year. You can kind of take your time and develop him. The only other person I would look at, I don't know if he's even available at this point now, but like the defensive tackle Siaki Ika out of Baylor, that would be a guy I would consider here too, because I don't, like, some people think that they need to do it add an interior rusher in the first round. I don't agree with that.
I've seen a lot of Mozzie Smith.
Yeah, I've seen Mozzie Smith, and I don't think that's not a good pick at 31. But if you could get a good interior rusher at 63, I think that's good value.
Derek Hall is a tremendous value
but
at 63.
Derek Hall is a great value at 63.
Thanks, guys.
Because he's a guy that's projected like around earlier in a lot of mocks.
And his motor's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he can help out in the run game as well.
Yes, yes.
And it's a good rotational piece. The Chiefs aren't going to start. Frank Clark played about 265, something like that. So he does have 10 or 15. But you know, it's easy to do. Carlotta's gained weight. They all gained weight.
Well, and people point to guys like, you know, Charles Omenihu, and you say, well, Charles Omenihu hopefully is going to be a two-year starter for you, but he's a two-year deal. You don't know if there's any long-term value there, and we don't know that he's going to be the guy you hope him to be. So you never, I think we said this last week, you can never go wrong by over-investing in the trenches.
Right. The Chiefs invested a ton in their pass rush last year, and it helped out.
But as far as weight, they do like to move people inside. Three technique, five technique.
Yeah.
So they do
that's
like that flexibility.
That's why they like the bigger guys.
To be able to move.
Because they want to move you around the line there, so you're not just playing in one spot.
Okay, Bink, now it is your turn at pick 95 into the third round. What are you looking at here?
Let's go to tight ends.
Oh, we know you love a good tight end. You took
Tucker Kraft
in the second round of our first draft.
He's not going to be available.
Not in round three. So you've got one of the studs of the combine of Zach Kuntz. He put up some freakish
Zach
numbers.
Zach Kuntz did. Davis Allen's a nice little selection, too, out of Clemson.
So are you
what
dead
I'll say
set
about,
on tight end here?
What I'll say about Kuntz is you could probably get him later.
Later, yeah.
But Davis Allen there, I mean, that's...
Okay, let me ask you something, okay? Are you dead set on taking a tight end right here?
I don't want to go three rounds without grabbing one. In a tight end, in a tight end draft, I do not want to go three rounds without taking a tight end. Second, third round were my prime territories.
But what if the value's not there for you?
If the value's not there, shouldn't you go somewhere that's going to provide more positional value?
Edge, offensive, let's see, offensive tackle.
Because you,
I don't think we're going to get one.
You're the one who
round.
Taught me about letting the board speak to you. The board is speaking and it's not screaming.
Yeah, it's not screaming.
It's not screaming.
It's not screaming tight end. Right,
I want to look at the wide receivers as well. Let's look at wide receivers. Right. As well.
And I was going to suggest that too. Let's look at some wide receivers. Because there's a guy
Trey
there.
Palmer.
There's a guy I
100%.
Like.
100%. Trey Palmer, 4.33 yeah. speed. Let's yes. go Trey Palmer.
That's the guy.
I didn't realize he'd still be sitting there, but let's go ahead and go wide receiver.
He's valued like third, fourth round.
Yeah. I like Trey Palmer a lot because that speed, 4.33, yes. that is
Wasn't he the fastest receiver as far as 40 time goes? Yeah. And you watch him on film and like he has potential to be an outside receiver, probably projects more as a slot, but he gives you everything you lost in McColl. And he's got the athleticism that if he could develop the ability to be an every down player at receiver, you went and got a guy who's got NFL athleticism, and all he just needs to do is develop NFL skill.
Not only that, but he played 3 years in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Played at LSU, then he goes to Nebraska.
He goes to Nebraska.
Yeah. Had his breakout year as a senior last year for Nebraska, 71 for over 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns.
Here's the thing. He's 6'1".
Yeah.
He's 6'1", runs at 4.33. This is the same speed McColl Hardman has. This is the same speed as the Jet in a much bigger frame.
Did have 10 drops last year. This seems to be a common theme with this draft class. Every time I go through...
Drops and size.
I see guys who are big. I see guys who are like Mingo, right? Jonathan Mingo.
Yeah, he had drop issues.
Oh,
yeah.
Drop issues. I keep looking, guys, drops. And eventually, I know that what we'll do is we'll look back on some of these guys, and they'll be, you know, perennial Pro Bowlers, and we'll say, remember when we were worried about his drop issues in college? Turns out that wasn't a big deal. But I understand the hesitation at the onset of saying, I know you're a physical freak. I know you put up impressive numbers at the combine, but you know, pretty important part of the job description to playing NFL wide receiver is being able to bring this stuff down. How much of that do you look at and say, okay, who was your quarterback? What kind of offense were you running? How many contested catches were you asked to bring down versus what you're going to be dealing with playing with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's offense?
It's a big difference. I mean, but Andy Reid values catching the football. It's a big reason why Sky Moore was taking the largest hands in the draft. But again, I think quarterback does come into play. Who was your quarterback? What was the situation? And the way I look at this is, again, 7 of the 10 picks last year on defense. I'm going heavy with Patrick Mahomes' weapons in this draft. And obviously, I kind of really wanted tight end in this situation. I do like Trey Palmer better than a Davis Allen because, again, Davis Allen's not going to blow me away and think, okay, this is a surefire number one, you know, tight end down the line. I don't see it at all.
Yeah, I think this is the time where you go and make a pick that could win you a Super Bowl in the future because you're getting a great athlete. And if you trust your coaching, if you trust your guys on your offensive coaching staff to develop this kid, and if you trust him and you've done your homework on him, that he's going to put in the work to improve his game, then I think you're putting yourself in a good position because you know you got an NFL athlete. Now you need him to develop himself into an NFL
He's
player.
Big. I get that. He ran the 4.84 40 Davis Allen. So that's why I got to go. Because, again, you're looking at 6'1 running 4.33. You're replacing the speed of McColl Hardman.
I think this is a good juncture to ask a question here because I know we go into the draft with saying, okay, this is priority 1, 2, and 3, and they're going to address all these needs. But as we know, you see enough of these drafts to know just because a pick seems or a position seems like a particular priority for a team does not mean they're going to come away with one. How many times did we say that for the Chiefs with wide receivers, and then they go through a draft and they didn't spend a value pick?
All the time.
So right now, we're 3 rounds through the draft. We have went wide receiver, edge rusher, wide receiver. You're now in round 4 where typically you don't get a lot of value plays at the offensive line. That's a position that we've sort of targeted. Would it surprise you if the Chiefs went through this draft or went through the first 3 or 4 rounds of this draft and they did not make that a priority? And then we get out of the draft and you hear Brett Veach talk and you hear Andy Reid talk and all of a sudden they're kind of painting this picture that, you know what, we like what we've got with our offensive line. We're going to let Lucas Niang and Darian Kennard compete for that right tackle spot, and we think that's good enough for this year.
Yeah, I think they're going to do that. They're always going to like what this draft is. The physicality, I like the Chiefs' nod towards physicality. You've seen a lot with the offensive line. You saw it with the running back and Isaiah Pacheco. This more physical brand of football, because it was considered more of a finesse team as the Kansas City Chiefs. So there's certain guys that I think bring some toughness. Cedric Tillman wasn't available. Obviously, I like him. I really, really, really like Mingo, Jonathan Mingo at Ole Miss. I like him more and more by the day, but he's probably looking at going in the second round. I'm talking before the Chiefs pick at the end of the second round. But there's a couple guys I really like with that physicality. Would Trey Palmer substitute it with speed?
Yeah.
Because that is what the Chiefs are about. And he's 6'1".
He is, if we're talking about second day receivers, he's the perfect guy for Andy Reid's system. He's the guy you look at and think he fits best with the Chiefs.
Do you like Palmer?
I do. Okay. I do. I think, especially at this, at the spot you took him, you're talking about third round for a guy with legit NFL traits. That's kind of the name of the game, is finding those pockets of value.
To answer your question, I do not. Like, I would be a little surprised if the Chiefs went tackle on the first 2 days.
Not only that, he'd be the fastest guy on the roster.
Yeah, he would be. They love that. They love that.
Okay, Chris, you are back up. Pick 122.
Okay, I'm a help out Bink here. Let's go to tight end.
Okay, Bink, here you go. See, this is what happens. You know, you pay it forward. You trust the guys around
still
you
here.
To make the right picks.
I know, it didn't change.
No so tight ends.
There is a guy.
Zach is 6'7".
There is a guy.
6'7".
I would tell you this right now. Zach Kuntz, 6'7", 4.55 40.
All right.
Almost 11 feet vertical. This is a guy that is everything the Chiefs love.
Okay, what if I told you this? I know we can't make trades in this mock draft, but you know that I'm picking next. What if I told you that if Zach Kuntz is there in round 5, I will take him? So there is security knowing
that... Don't we have 2 4th round picks?
We have another 4th round pick. So you get another 4th round pick.
I think it's 135. If you pass on Zach Kuntz, I will scoop him up with the next pick.
134.
This is the problem. This is the problem here, though. I don't know if he's going to be there. Maybe. Let's see what else is on the board. Before I make this decision, let's see what else is on the board.
What are the positions?
Just go overall. Let's see who's best value here.
Okay.
Actually, let's go defensive interior, DI.
That is right there. Okay, yeah. There we go.
Okay. So, nothing really jumps out to me there.
Not like a running backs?
What if Cameron Young's gone?
Cameron Young's absolutely still there. Let's go look at running backs real quick. I want to see who's there.
A little local product, Deuce Vaughn.
Deuce! The Deuce is loose!
Could the Deuce be loose in Kansas City?
You are going to take Kuntz with the second,
that's
fourth round
pick,
right?
That's my promise to you. Zach Kuntz is coming to Kansas City if he is there at pick 134.
Chase Brown's sitting there.
Chase Brown's there, too. The only issue I got with Deuce, pass blocking. Pass protection's going to be an issue because he's 5'5".
Jarek McKinnon's out here tweeting about disrespect.
So you get the fastest guy and the shortest guy. Let's go ahead.
Jarek McKinnon's like 6 inches taller than him. So I am concerned, but I love what the Chiefs could do with Deuce as a pass catcher, as a runner in certain situations. Sure, he's certainly not like a short yardage situation guy, but like you could put him in first down and he's a threat to run or catch the ball. He's going to be incredibly hard to tackle because of his size, because he's just so much smaller than everyone that his pad level is just going to be right underneath a lot of guys' reach. So I think he could probably steal yards from the defense just because of that.
Okay.
So if we're going to go running back here and Devonta Chain is not there.
Bink is tapping on the name of Chase Brown. For those listening at home.
Yes. I'm gonna go Deuce. I'm gonna go Deuce Vaughn here, fourth round. But you gotta get Kuntz. You gotta get Kuntz.
Man, we have to put our name on this.
I'm a man of integrity. I said I would do it.
I'm gonna go Deuce here.
I said I would do it. And look at that.
Zach Kuntz is right there.
And tell you what, this is why value.
So we got short, tall, and fast.
Let's just recap here. Because we're at pick 134. Chiefs have 2 4th round picks. Jay, you were considering Kuntz at pick 93, and here we are 41 picks later, and boom, your guy's still there. Yeah.
But I didn't jump on it, though.
But wouldn't you feel good? Exactly, but this is the lesson of value in the draft, right? You may love a guy, but you have to ask yourself, is now the right time to pick him? Am I making a value play? And knowing that, like, honestly, you could really get... This is like playing blackjack. You know what it is? It's like, do I want to hit on 16? It's like, do I want to hit on 16? Do I want to take him in the fourth round? Or do I want to wait to the fifth round? But I'm a man of my word.
Or
I'm
is
a man
this
of integrity.
A taller version of Noah Gray?
Yeah. And we know Andy loves really tall tight ends. He really loves them.
And specifically with tight ends, Jody Fortson in all likelihood is playing his last season in Kansas City. Blake Bell in all likelihood is playing his last season
if he makes the roster.
Yeah.
Right. And so,
which I think if they draft a tight end, there's a good chance he doesn't make the roster.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance too. Yeah. And Kuntz has, like, the one thing though is that Kelce, the thing that makes him so good is his athleticism at that position. Kuntz has a high level of athleticism for his position. So to me, he's perfect for this role.
Okay, so there you go. Everybody's happy. Zach Kuntz is officially a Kansas City Chief. And now, Jay, it is back to you. We are now at pick 166. So just to recap who we have taken here, we have taken two wide receivers, an edge rusher, a running back, and a tight end.
We're getting there. Yeah, I mean, this is the positions I would definitely want.
Are you jumping up with joy if this is your draft board and it's Saturday afternoon?
I would be pleased with this draft.
Pleased.
I would be pleased with
not
this
ecstatic.
Draft. Well, not at this point. I don't think anybody can be, you know, at this point. But there's names I do like. I mean, I do like those guys. I like the situation that we're in. What's wide receiver sitting at this point?
Oh,
I
love we want to take up. A third.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna take a third wide receiver.
Oh man, my man Roddy Bell.
Okay, again though, he's probably somebody you could wait on.
I could probably wait on him.
You could probably wait on him for like the sixth round.
What's the tight end situation looking like?
I know you took a tight end.
I know you did. Wait. I know you just took Me? Tight end.
What are you doing,
I'm loading man? Up where I want to load up.
Okay.
There is
Let's
one
go interior defensive
dangerous
line.
Game here.
There is a position I actually think you might be able to get good value at.
Okay. Interior defensive line. I feel like there is some value plays here, at least according to Pro Football Focus's rankings.
Jared Clark, I kind of like him a lot out of Coastal Carolina. He's a guy that, what's his size?
Your boy Cameron Young's there too.
Cameron Young may be a guy you can still get in the sixth.
Yeah, you probably get him in the sixth.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, Cameron Young, a lot of times people are looking at the fourth round, and you name it, as far as grabbing there, but is... Is Colburn still there from Texas? I don't know if he's still there or not.
He might not be there. I don't think he is. I think he's like third or fourth round.
Yeah, no, he is. He is long gone, my friend.
What about Tyler Steen from Alabama? Offensive lineman.
Nope.
He's gone too.
He's gone. Uh-oh.
God, I don't really want to go safety. But
what about, as you see on there, Nick Saldivari, tackle out of Old Dominion? I've seen him mock to the Chiefs in the third round.
We really want to go Old Dominion that much?
I mean, if they got players, they got players.
Load up on Old Dominion.
If they
Dominion.
Got players, they got players. I don't care what college they went to.
Yeah, I'm looking at one big board that has him as a third or fourth round talent. They have him as the eighth ranked tackle.
Saldivari.
And this draft class right after Tyler Steen.
I'll say this.
Yeah.
He's not the athletic freak that like Kennard was last year, where like he was best length of any lineman, biggest hands of any lineman. He's not that. But there, a lot of people think he could be an NFL tackle. And at right tackle, he would have a lot less pressure on him than having to play left.
We're looking at 6'6", 320, long arms. Okay, I'm going to read you. This is Dane Brugler's scouting report. On Nick Saldivari.
He's the guy, they really need that interior guy that can just eat runs.
He says, overall, Saldivari needs to refine his aiming points and recovery skills to combat NFL strength, but his mental approach and athletic body control will keep his head above water. He is a scheme-diverse NFL prospect capable of backing up multiple positions on the line.
See, I like that because that's what they want. I mean, that's what they talk about. That's what they preach is the versatility up and down the line. And
how do you think guys like Andrew Wiley and Nick Allegretti?
Would you say 6'6"?
6'6", 320.
Yeah,
he's a big dude.
That's where you put there in the total interior. Maybe move him to the outside.
How about this? Team captain at Old Dominion.
I like it. You know, we're going heavy on Old Dominion here, but why the hell not?
You love people with accolades.
I'll go
with
Nick.
That's right. You love the
I'll
accolades.
I'll go with Nick.
How many times have we heard about the Biletnikoff winners?
Okay, Anthony Johnson's still
there. So now we are at the...
I thought about safety, but I just didn't want to pull the trigger.
I don't... to me, with them having four safeties on the roster, I don't know if that's a position.
I mean, Anthony Johnson's someone I've, you know.
Here's my thing with
safeties. We have no idea if Brian Cook is a part of the long-term plans. You only got Justin Reed for two more years. Who in that safety room are you committed to long-term?
I don't know if the Chiefs are...
Yeah, with Thornhill out the door to Cleveland now, it's...
I don't know if the Chiefs are even committed to that position in general long-term. Just the way that they've approached it, did they even try to keep one?
No, not at all.
If I get safety, someone that can play nickel corner as well, I don't see that.
I imagine that they're just going to... Kind of do what they've been doing with safety, which is we'll just draft one every few years and we'll play him out and then we'll let him leave and we'll get someone else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now back to you, Chris. We are in round six now at pick 178.
Okay, so this is a guy I wanted to take last time. I didn't get the chance to because y'all drafted a bunch of defensive linemen before.
Okay, take it easy, pal.
y'all drafted two defensive linemen before, but this is a guy I like. He's got a lot of versatility, which is something that Spags really values in his linemen. This guy probably is at best a rotational edge rusher, but he can absolutely play on the inside as a three tech. The Chiefs love that. One of the reasons why Mike Dana was able to get a lot of playing time this year, because Dana was able to not only play on the edge, but also play three tech in the pass rush, and it made him really valuable. So I'm going to go with Viliami Fehoko out of San Jose State. He's big kid, almost 2'8". He's about 276, 6'3". So he's the size they like, but I'm not convinced he's an every down edge rusher. So I think he's a guy
total rotational piece,
absolutely
maybe
rotational.
Less than Dana.
Yeah. Well, you were mentioning him the last time we did a mock draft.
Yeah, and I wanted to get him, but I was like, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to take him here. But Fehoko, I think, could be great as a Mike Dana type. Playing inside, playing outside, put him in different situations there. I think he could be really valuable.
Remember, they get Turk, you know, undrafted.
Exactly.
Taking a stab.
Yeah, so you just go out there, you find guys that can be rotational players on your D-line on the third day, and I think he fits that perfectly.
Okay, so now we are in pick 217. This is the last pick of the sixth round, and I feel like we've addressed a lot of the big positions, and even like the ones like running back where you feel like they're gonna add someone but you just don't know when. So I feel like I have some flexibility here to kind of go wherever I want. Wide receivers I'm pretty good with. You've taken two of those. You already took a tight end. I got a couple edge rushers. I could go defensive interior. Okay, this guy has been falling, and I've seen him at the top of the board round after round after round, and I think a lot of people view this guy as a third or fourth round sort of talent. Played safety in college, moved from safety to cornerback, so he's got defensive versatility.
And if Sneed's not going to be back after next year, so
he's a four-year starter. I'm going Corey Trice, cornerback for Purdue.
Corey?
Yeah, I mean, this is... You look
familiarity with the Karloftis.
He's probably not quite as fast as I think Spags likes for cornerbacks. You look at that cornerback room. What do they all have?
They're
in
great
common?
Athletes. Amazing. Yeah,
we
athletes.
Used to think they like the big. He likes the big, long guys. And then Trent McDuffie's
athletes.
Not. Yeah,
they're
he wants. He wants athletes, and that's not quite who Corey Trice is. You're looking at 6'3", 205. He ran a sub 4.5, so he's not a speedster, but
it's free safety type stuff.
That's safety, and I was just talking about their lack of commitment to that safety room in general. Wouldn't shock me whatsoever. You draft this guy.
I know they like Cook, though. They do like Cook.
They like Cook, but again, in general, when I look at the secondary guys from last year's draft class, nobody had a bad season. Am I right? Cook had a good year. Watson had a good year. Williams had a good year. You can't say with any level of certainty that the Chiefs are committed to those guys long term. Like, I don't know if they view any of them as being a part of their long term
draft plug and play.
Are any of those guys going to be second contract players?
Anthony Johnson's a guy that really comes up and runs support. I worry about the. He's fast, like at the point of attack, like straight downline speed, but like as far as the hips moving and stuff like that, is that a guy that can play corner? Because I want a guy that can also do corner and safety.
Yeah, because they love having their corners come up and play in the
slot.
So
I think Trice would be a better fit than Johnson.
Right.
Okay, I'm going Trice here, and I think that's a great value pick at pick 217 for a guy who It might end up being like a fourth round pick. Okay, so now, Bink, we are back to you. There are, what, two picks remaining?
It's two quarterbacks.
Oh, boy.
He's not going to be there.
He better not be
He's
there.
Not going to be there.
He's not.
Max Duggan? Should we go middle Max Duggan?
No, you know what? No, I'm not even, you know no, what? I know Max we didn't. Duggan.
No, this is at the, this is pick 249.
No, and here's
this
why. Is... I'm not going to let you take Max Duggan, because just to peel the curtain back a little bit, I can't tell you, because I had a Heisman vote, and Bink is all in my ear talking about I need to vote for Stetson Bennett, and he was talking about how much harder the SEC is than the other conferences. And then we got to the national championship game, and Bink probably texted me 8 times during the game as Georgia's just throttling TCU, and you're talking about the Big 12, Max Duggan.
At least they got there.
But you know what? Because of all the smack you were talking at the time, I don't think you should be allowed to take Max Duggan, even in a mock draft.
Here's the only reason. This falls in line with my Stetson Bennett argument.
But you could take him.
Yeah, there's the guys like Chase still out there and Carson Wentz and stuff like that, because the Chiefs were going to go that mold. They want that Chad Henne type, but that's got an NFL experience. And you think, okay, well, if you draft a guy, are you going to get somebody with big-time game experience? Max has that. The guy won a playoff game, beating Michigan.
They're not drafting a quarterback. They're going to go UDFA. They're going to do the same thing they did with Shane Buechele. They're going to find some guy off the scrap.
But I don't know if they'd like that, though. I don't think they want somebody with big game experience that they can trust to throw in a situation that's tough.
Then go sign a veteran. Go sign the next.
I really wanted a quarterback in this situation, because we neglected. It's the seventh round, near the end of it.
If Bennett were available, I certainly could buy into the argument. But
I'd rather you take a kicker. I'd rather you take a kicker than Max Duggan.
Not Duggan.
Let's go. Let's look at
we have shamed him out of taking Max Duggan, folks.
Well, they haven't shamed me out of doing it. I haven't decided yet. Well, I just really want the quarterback with big game experience, and Max has that.
It's not the same as Stetson, man.
Okay, what
it's
else do you want to look at? What else are you thinking about?
Running back.
This is a prime running back time.
I accidentally selected tight end there. Okay. Yes, Sir Roderick Thompson. Watched him for Texas Tech. Anything else?
Fabian Thomas. He's all right.
Okay, that doesn't sound like you're committed to it.
I'm not really.
Remember, we've already used a draft pick on a running back. So
no, we haven't. I wanted to bring in a quarterback as a camp body, a guy that can push guys. And I 100% convinced that Buechele's better than Max Duggan. I'm not. I was going to take a quarterback in the seventh round, sixth or seventh round. I was going to grab a quarterback because of that whole. Well, can I trust you? If you go in, do you have big game experience to win big games? Max plays tough, man. I'll give him that. The guy plays tough, gritty. The guy can get out and run a little bit. He's very powerful with what he does.
You want me to just give you Duggan? I know you want him.
I do.
All right.
Give me Duggan.
Go with your heart. And just one pick later. Pick 250, Chris. Mr. Irrelevant. Who's it going
to
be?
Okay, let's go to running backs.
We want another running back. Okay. We're just looking at some of these guys.
Is Lukey there? It's probably gone.
Hunter Lukey's gonna be if he is there. You got to take him.
Yeah, he's gone. Okay. All right. Let's go back.
I wonder what round he went in.
I think he was probably earlier in the seventh. I don't think
Mel Kiper loves freaking Hunter Lukey.
I really like that guy.
I do too, man. I was sold on that pick when you took it the first time. I was very excited about that pick.
Okay, so here, board ain't looking too sexy right now.
Well, you know, it's pick 250.
Is Lonnie Phelps still there?
Lonnie Phelps, edge rusher from Kansas, is still there.
Is Cameron Young still there?
Absolutely not. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. Scroll down a little bit. He might be.
I'm pretty sure Cam got taken.
I don't know. Scroll down just a little bit there, Nick.
He's usually early seventh, late sixth.
Is Cameron Brown still there?
No.
No,
I don't think so. There, let's go with Lonnie Phelps.
Another local kid,
edge rusher out of Kansas. Again, you're trying to build up a stable of edge rushers, rotational guys.
You drafted a Jayhawk
that can. I don't care. I ain't got no animosity towards the Jayhawks.
He doesn't have a dog in this fight. Tell you what, Lonnie Phelps, I believe, he doesn't have the size, right? He's only 6'2", 247, doesn't have long arms.
But right.
The guy is menacing in his style of play. He is stronger than Ox. Like, I think he was the leader at bench press reps, 34, yeah. I want to say.
And they like really strong edge rush, defensive linemen in general, they like guys who are more power rusher style, really strong. He can put on a little weight, probably not too much because, you know, 247 playing weight right now. Not going to put on too much weight, but I think he fits what they like.
High motor, strong.
Yes.
Move around.
I mean, that's what Mike Dana is.
I was just about to say.
Mike Dana is undersized for what they like, but he's got a really high motor. He's strong, a lot stronger than a lot of people give him credit for, and that's why he works with the Chiefs. So to me, if Lonnie Phelps can provide you anything on the as a pass rusher, that's a win. Because you usually don't get don't hit on it.
Mike
on pass
Dana
rushers.
Is 6'2", 258. Lonnie Phelps is
6'2", 247. Yeah. So like what is it? 11-pound difference? And again, Dana was a guy that you looked at from a size wise and was like, why in the hell did they keep this guy? But he has such a great motor. And he's really strong that he just finds a way to play well enough to stay on the roster. And last year, he was actually a really good asset for them as a rotational guy. So I really like this move.
All right, there you go. There is your draft. So in conclusion, let's just go ahead and run through this one more time. Round one, we went Jalin Hyatt, wide receiver, Tennessee. Round two, Derek Hall, edge rusher from Auburn. In the third round, Trey Palmer, wide receiver out of Nebraska. In round four, Deuce Vaughn, running back from K-State. Then again in round four, Zach Kuntz, tight end from Old Dominion. Round five, tackle from Old Dominion. So double down on Old Dominion. Nick Saldiveri. Round six, you're going to say this name, Chris.
Viliami Fehoko.
That's right. Edge rusher from San Jose State. Round six, also Corey Trice from Purdue. Cornerback. We went quarterback, Max Duggan from TCU. And Lonnie Phelps, edge rusher from Kansas in round seven. Pro Football Focus, by the way, guys, has graded us out as a B+. So that's better than what we got. I think we got like a C- or something in the first one. So
yeah,
we're getting better.
Yeah, that was it was bad.
Remind people about
PFF grades. We actually found like really strong on here. Like most of our value picks are third day. Like if you notice, like most of these guys are really good values third day. The Jalin Hyatt, they gave us a D-, but like again, they are saying he's like somewhere in the 50s or 60s as far as value. There's no damn way he's going to last that long. Ain't no damn way Jalin Hyatt is going to be there in the 60s.
That's a good mock considering there's still around.
Well, and I think this too, like you got to look at it position by position. And as we know, their teams, scouts, they're not as high on this wide receiver class as they have been the past couple of years. So if you don't view Jalin Hyatt as a first-round prospect, then yeah, you're going to say that's a reach. If you're the Chiefs and you say, no, we're the Chiefs, so Jalin Hyatt for us is a more valuable pick than Jalin Hyatt for the Giants. So therefore, this pick makes sense for us in a way it may not make sense for other teams picking in the first round. Which I believe, by the way.
Yeah,
I know you guys probably were sold the one where you guys were both kind of skeptical, and that was Max Duggan. I will say this about him. He's a lot faster.
I'm going to be honest with
he's
you.
He's a lot faster than Shane Buechele. He's a 4.5 speed. If he's 6'2".
I don't
if
care
the
how
Chiefs,
fast.
If Max the Chiefs Duggan. Draft Max Duggan in the seventh round, I'm not going to care because yeah, it's a seventh round pick.
It's a seventh round pick. I'm just saying.
Just
you know,
like I didn't.
I like the experience. I like the size. He's fast as hell.
No, 4.5
speed. 6'2".
You know what? You bring up this is a good opportunity to talk about this. We laugh and we give each other a hard time. The truth of the matter is, nobody gives a shit about these seventh round picks. We just don't.
Well, except the Chiefs do because they had two seventh rounders contribute to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but Veach isn't like, damn, I missed on that seventh round pick. He's not doing that.
And you're not playing with your quarterback anyway because Mahomes is your quarterback.
And I'm talking about critics. I'm talking about the people who are going to hurl insults.
Man.
What were you saying when the Chiefs drafted Isaiah Pacheco and Jalen Watson? Nothing, because they're seventh round picks. If a seventh round pick gets a roster spot, that's a win.
Yeah. Well, Pacheco was fun to watch because Veach throwing it out there. I think he did somebody seventh rounder and draft
even
to go
even
near 1,000
when he
yards.
Threw it out there,
yeah.
We were still skeptical that he was going to find a franchise running back in the seventh round.
Yeah, and
because
so you grade,
it was very unlikely.
You grade on a scale. The idea is never that Jalen Watson and Isaiah Pacheco were going to become starters.
No.
Can they make a roster?
Yeah.
And they both not only made rosters, but became starters and became guys that made big plays when you needed them. So I think that's what you kind of judge these guys based off of. If we're sitting here week one and Max Duggan is on the sidelines, that's a win.
Yeah.
I don't care if he ever.
Yeah,
takes
if he
a snap.
Dresses for a game, that's a huge win.
If he goes out and beats Shane Buechele and all of a sudden that's your number two. Okay.
Well, that's even a bigger win.
That's a huge win.
And then
win.
You flip him for
that's
a couple picks in a couple
that's
years.
The biggest win
like
of his
a sixth
career.
Rounder, fifth rounder.
If he passes okay, Shane really Buechele, that's the biggest win of his career.
Anyway, there's a couple of these I really like. I like the Trey Palmer. I'm glad I got him.
Yeah, really.
Coons a tight end, 6'7". That's an intriguing pick to me, too.
That's a guy I think of could be the steal of the draft, especially with the Chiefs.
I like your Derek Hall, too, though.
Derek Hall in the second round's a steal.
Yeah,
massive steal. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of Trey Palmer in the third.
I know what I'm saying.
But go look at a mock draft.
Nick Salverni got an A.
Look at you go.
Fajoco got an A+.
A+.
Trey's got an A+.
But that's the thing. They give you grades based off of where you drafted them versus where they have them.
Exactly. Yeah. They base it off of like how much value you got out of the pick, not so much the player itself.
That still gets scored. Remember, I told you I brought out the Patrick Mahomes grades for that draft 2017.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And there was like C-, C,
D+. They finally put that draft up on YouTube not too long ago. And so I went back. I was watching that last week. And it was just hilarious how no one saw it coming.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was like, oh, this is like, Rich Eisen was like, oh, this is where they take Deshaun Watson. This is where the slide is. And then Patrick Mahomes went and they were all surprised.
So there you go, guys. 7 rounds. I would bet you if we did another one of these 2 days before the draft, it would look a lot different than this one. And if I were guessing what we're going to be looking at after the draft on, Sunday morning, I'll bet you there aren't 10 players. I'll bet you the Chiefs aren't drafting 10 players. But as for now, this is what it is. I would assume between now and then the draft, we'll do one where we're going to allow trades. We'll have to at least indulge once to have some fun with
it. And we'll have to do all 31 picks again because that's the fun part.
We have to consider.
That's the fun part on Thursday night where we sit there and look at what we got right and wrong.
I think the big caveat is we have to abide by the Rich Hill trade chart whenever we do it.
Because absolutely, 100%.
I don't think this thing does it. I don't think the simulator on PFF does it. So we have to make sure that we get appropriate value.
What's not like what Chad Ryder did? Because you look at pick 190 points for the Chiefs last, and they gave their third round, which was 40 points. I'm telling you guys, these are points are nothing in the seventh round, like 1 point.
Yeah,
like you compare 190 for pick 31, you're down to 1 point when you get to seventh round. You just cannot flip those for anything.
Right, right.
So we will be back. We'll be on the air Thursday night on 610 Sports Radio from 6 to 9 o'clock. Coming up on that show, which we will then podcast afterwards, so you can get that podcast probably Friday morning, if not Thursday night. We will be taking a look. We're going to look at the wide receiver position specifically, and we are going to give you our top 10. Wide receiver prospects. I think there are probably 4 or 5 names at the very top, the first round guys that are routinely thrown out.
We've got to figure out what's going on with Quentin Johnston.
Yeah,
right? We're going to figure out why Quentin Johnston continues to slide down boards, if there is going to be a shakeup at number one. But I want to specifically look at like guys that we have ranked like 6 to 10 on that wide receiver sheet, because that is where, in all likelihood, if the Chiefs don't draft a wide receiver in the first round, those are names
like
that you're going to want to know.
Somebody like that, Rashee Rice in the situation. Trey Palmer, too, I think, can be starting to talk. And Mingo, Cedric Tillman. I mean, there's some guys that aren't, quote, your first rounders in that little 4 and 5 and Tillman, wide receiver pocket that
Tillman's
can make a
starting
difference.
To go up some boards. So it's really interesting seeing where he goes, because I wouldn't be shocked if, like, mid-second round we're talking about Tillman coming off the board.
So we'll do all of that.
And Mingo, too, because I've...
We'll do all of that on Thursday night from 6 to 9. Again, you can get this wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Odyssey app, 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com. That was fun, guys. For Chris Unocero, Jay Binkley, I'm Nick Schwert. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.